Chapter 15. The chief engineer in charge of the Tracha detailed a captain to take me over it and to show me all that there was to see. The officers of the infantry and cavalry stationed at Sego objected to his doing this, but he said he has a pass from General Weyler. I am not responsible. It was true that I had an order from General Weyler, but he had rendered it ineffective by having me followed about wherever I went by his police and spies. They sat next to me in the CAFA tilde copyrights and in the plazas, and when I took a cab they called the next one on the line, and trailed after mine all around the city, until my driver would become alarmed for fear he too was suspected of something, and would take me back to the hotel. I had gotten rid of them at Cienfuegos by purchasing a ticket on the steamer to Santiago, 3 days further down the coast, and then dropping off in the night at the Tracha, so while I was visiting it, I expected to find that my non-arrival at Santiago had been reported, and word sent to the Tracha that I was a newspaper correspondent. And whenever an officer spoke to the one who was showing me about, my camera appeared to grow to the size of a trunk, and to weigh like lead, and I felt lonely, and longed for the company of the cheerful cable operator at the other end of the Tracha. But as I had seen Mr. Gillette in Ecret service only 17 times before leaving New York, I knew just what to do, which was to smoke all the time and keep cool. The latter requirement was somewhat difficult, as Sego de Avila is a hotter place than Richmond. Indeed, I can only imagine one place hotter than Sego, and I have not been there. Sego was an interesting town. During every day of the last rainy season an average of 30 soldiers and officers died there of yellow fever. While I was there I saw two soldiers, one quite an old man, drop down in the street, as though they had been shot, and lie in the road until they were carried to the yellow fever ward of the hospital, under the black oilskin cloth of the stretchers. There was a very smart officer's club at Sego well supplied with a bar and billiard tables, which I made some excuse for not entering, but which could be seen through its open doors, and I suggested to one of the members that it must be a comfort to have such a place, where the officers might go after their day's march on the mud banks of the Tracha, and where they could bathe, and be cool and clean. He said there were no baths in the club nor anywhere in the town. He added that he thought it might be a good idea to have them. The bathtub is the dividing line between savages and civilized beings. And when I learned that regiment after regiment of Spanish officers and gentlemen have been stationed in that town, and it was the dirtiest, hottest, and dustiest town I ever visited, for 18 months, and none of them had wanted a bath, I believed from that moment all the stories I had heard about their butcheries and atrocities, stories which I had verified later by more direct evidence. From a military point of view the Tracha impressed me as a weapon which could be made to cut both ways. What the Spaniards think of it is shown by the caricature which appeared lately in On Quixote, and which shows the United States represented by a hog, and the insurgents represented by a negro imprisoned in the Tracha, while Weyler stands ready to turn the Spanish lion on them, and watch it gobble them up. It would be unkind were Spain to do anything so inconsiderate, and besides, the United States is rather a large mouthful even without the insurgents who taken alone seem to have given the lion some pangs of indigestion. If the Tracha were situated on a broad plain, or prairie with a mile of clear ground on either side of it, where troops could maneuver, and which would prevent the enemy from stealing up to it unseen, it might be a useful line of defense. But at present, along its entire length, stretches this almost impassable barrier of jungle. Now suppose the troops are sent at short notice from the military camps along the line, to protect any particular point? Not less than 1,000 soldiers must be sent forward, and one can imagine what their condition would be, were they forced to maneuver in a space 150 yards broad, the half of which is taken up with barbed wire fences, fallen trees and explosive bomb shells. Only 200 at the most could find shelter in the forts, which would mean that 800 men would be left outside the breastworks, and scattered over a distance of a half mile, with a forest on both sides of them, from which the enemy could fire volley after volley into their ranks, protected from pursuit, not only by the jungle, but by the walls of fallen trees which the Spaniards themselves have placed there. A trocha in an open plain, as were the English trochas in the desert around Suakin, makes an admirable defense, when a few men are forced to withstand the assault of a great many, but fighting behind a trocha in the jungle is like fighting in an ambush, and if the trocha at Moron is ever attacked in force it will prove to be a valley of death to the Spanish troops. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.